singing. So maybe we can get started with a song this morning. Someone has one? Who has one?
Okay.
What number would you like to sing?
Number 4.
All right. Why don't we sing the first and the last verse of number 4 in our hymn sheet?
Christ is the Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior for me. Long I was hated in darkness. Now by His grace I am free. Savior of sinners. Savior of sinners like me.
Another song? All right.
31.
Thank you.
Number 31. And let's see here. Let's sing again the first and the last of this one. If someone will start that for us.
I will sing
start the second verse. If there's any more children that would like to come up front, feel free to do so. Even while we're singing, there's some seats here on this side and there's a few more on this side, so you might be able to see a little bit better if you come up closer. All right, verse 3 of number 31. Maybe we'll sing a few more in just a minute, but I have a question for you, boys and girls. I'm going to talk this morning about riches and treasures. Okay? Does that sound interesting? Riches and treasures. And I'd like to know, maybe you can help us, how much money does it take to be rich? Who has an idea? How much money do you have to be rich?
Lots.
Okay, good answer. All right, any other thoughts? How many of you boys and girls this morning here are rich? How many think that they're rich? Okay. All right. Well, we're going to talk about riches. So let's sing another song first. Who has another one? Or anybody?
Number 40.
Thank you. This makes me sound louder, but it doesn't help you hear. So. Number 40. Okay, that's such a nice one. But let's sing the first and the last verse of number 40.
Jesus loves me, and I know.
Okay, I wondered, boys and girls, if I could pick one. And it's not in this little sheet, but I think we know it. We're just going to sing the first verse and the chorus. It's a story, but I think we know the story well enough. Let's sing that song about the certain rich man, okay? All right, shall we sing that? Okay, maybe someone could start that. Just the first verse and the chorus.
A certain man of whom we read who lived in
let's just look to the Lord for His help before we go any further. All right. I don't know if any of you boys or girls would like to share a verse with us that you have learned, but I'll give you a chance to do that if you'd like to. Would you like to? Okay. If you have one, I'll just come along and you can share it with us. Just take a minute or two to do that. If you would like to hold that, go ahead.
Before they call, I shall answer. While they are speaking, I will hear...
Isaiah
65:24.
Thank you. Good. Have anybody else? You girls? Down this way. Okay, Kevin.
Before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Isaiah 65:24.
Thank you. How about you, Ellie? No? Okay. Anybody else? I can walk over to you if you'd like. Just raise your hand high so we can see where you are. All right. Okay. Well, you know, like I said, we're going to talk about riches. And, you know, there's something that interests us about that, isn't it? It's interesting, isn't it, how people like to talk about those that are rich. And I suppose that's our natural hearts. We're very interested in people that have done well. And you know there's a verse for that. I'm looking at it right now. It's in the book of Psalms, and it's in Psalm 49. And I'm just going to read part of verse 18. It says, the last half of that verse, men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. You know, there's a man that was very, very rich in this world. He's in the Bible. And he gives us some good counsel. And he said, in one of his statements, he said that many seek the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. You ever notice that? You know, somebody that's generous, that gives a lot of gifts, he's got a lot of friends usually. So if any of you boys and girls are rich this morning, you probably have lots of friends. Because it says, this same man also said, he said, the poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. Isn't that interesting? The rich hath many friends. And, you know, I suppose it would be quite a test for each of us here if we heard that just outside of Pella here, in the town of Pella, there was going to be a man that had lots of money, and he was going to come and he was going to offer $1,000 check to anyone that would just come and ask for it. Now, do you think that there would be just maybe a couple of people that might be interested in Pella that would go and line up to get that check? Or do you think there'd be a lot of people? What do you think? Would there be a lot or just a few?
A lot.
I think there'd be quite a line. If all you had to do is go and get this check for $1,000, I think there'd be quite a lot of people there lined up to get that money. The rich hath many friends. You know, boys and girls, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have something greater than that. You know, there was a man in Colorado history. He lived many years ago. And he and his wife moved to Colorado, and they started a little store, and they supplied people with groceries and so on. But some men came along to him one day, and they said, would you help us? They were looking for silver in the mountains of Colorado, or gold. And they said, would you help us? Would you help us in our project? And if we find what we're looking for, we'll give you a third of whatever we find. And so he said, okay. He had some money, a little bit of money that he had saved up. He and his wife worked hard at what they were doing. So he saved up this money. I mean, he gave them this money that he had saved up, quite a bit of money, to go out and stake this claim and start working the soil and looking for this silver. Well, after a while, they found a lot of silver. And this man's name was Tabor. Mr. Tabor made a lot of money from that. He got a third of what they found, and he made a lot of money. And pretty soon, he bought a mine of his own, and it was called the Matchless Mine. It's kind of a famous story in Colorado. And he worked that mine, and this was way back in the 1800s, the mid-18 to latter 1800s. And that mine was doing so well that even back at that time, he was making something like $2,000 a day in selling silver from his silver mine called the Matchless Mine. Well, he made a lot of money on that mine. And, you know, he began to live lavishly. And pretty soon, he and his wife were divorced, and he married another woman, and lots and lots of trouble, and they lived lavishly and so on. But something happened. Something happened to all this wealth that he had accumulated. There was a crash in the price of silver towards the end of the 1800s, and the price of silver went way down. And this Mr. Tabor lost lots of money. In fact, pretty soon he lost so much money that he went to work for another mine, hauling ore, pushing ore in an ore cart for like $3 a week. He had all this money and it was gone. And his poor wife, then he died. He was older than her. He died and she thought she would try and get the mine working again. And she worked and worked and toiled to make that mine produce again. And it never produced. And she lived in a little shack near the mine. And they found her one day. She had frozen to death, penniless. They had a couple of children, and Mr. Tabor left zero to his family. He didn't have anything to leave to them. Oh, the uncertainty of riches. Well, I've got some things here on the table. We're going to call these vessels. You know, these remind me of you and me. Did you know that you and I are like a vessel? Yeah. We're going to look at a few scriptures about that. But we are like vessels. And, you know, before we come to the Lord Jesus, boys and girls, we're just an empty vessel. We don't have anything to offer to the Lord, do we? All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, all our good works, anything that we could offer to God, it's of no value to Him. Is it? No, He doesn't want that. So maybe this little one here could represent you children, smaller. But we're all empty. We're all the same. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so we're just like these empty vessels, boys and girls. But one little simple faith, step of faith, one little confession, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Isn't that wonderful? And once we're saved, God fills us with treasures. Isn't that wonderful? If you have a Bible, turn with me to 2 Corinthians, and our brother read from this chapter last night. But we're going to read a few verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And the Apostle Paul is the one that is writing here. And he says in verse 5, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." We don't preach about ourselves, he's saying. We preach about the Lord Jesus. You know, the vessel is supposed to be hidden, kind of like a man named Luke in the Bible. You know, Luke wrote a couple of books for us, but he doesn't mention his name hardly ever. He stays hidden. John the Baptist was another vessel that the Lord used, and he stayed hidden, didn't he? He said, "I must decrease, but He must increase," speaking about the Lord Jesus. And so the vessel stays hidden, and that's what Paul is saying. And then he refers to something that happened in the beginning of our Bibles. We read about it. He says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts." Remember that? It tells us that God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void. A darkness was over the face of the earth. And then it tells us that God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. That's the first thing we read about in the details that He gives us of creation. It tells us that He commanded the light. Maybe not so much creating light there, but commanding it to shine out of darkness. Darkness had come in, and God wants that light to shine because that's His nature. And so He commands the light to shine out of darkness. He's shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, here's the verse I wanted to get to. Now, listen. It says, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels." You know, isn't that amazing, boys and girls? We have this treasure in earthen vessels, it says, Paul says. What does that mean? Well, let me explain it this way. Men go to a lot of trouble to protect their money, don't they? They go to lots of trouble. And they try and lock it up and keep it safe. And they like to put it in a stronghold where nobody can get in. or they hope that nobody can get in and steal from them. Because they feel secure. That gives them a secure feeling to have all this money. But they're afraid that others want it, and there are others that want it. There's lots of other people that want it. We read that, didn't we, in this psalm about others. Men will praise thee if thou doest well to thyself, and especially if they think there's something in it for them. And so there's a lot of those that are envious and greedy towards those that are rich. And you know, the world loves to talk about rich people. It impresses them. It intrigues them. It's something that they, perhaps because they're grasping for it and they want it. And yet they can't have it. They can't get it. But Paul is talking about something else, treasure in earthen vessels. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I don't want to talk about money in the bank. I don't want to talk about savings and that kind of thing. I want to talk about what God is doing and wants to do in your life. I hope you're the Lord's this morning. I hope you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, because if you do, you're a vessel and God wants to use you and He wants to fill you with His treasures. And that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to illustrate that. I brought some things that we're going to call treasures. And we're going to fill these little vessels with treasures. All right? So let's do that. But as we're doing that, I would like to hear from you what you think some of these treasures are that we have. You know, I asked any of you if you were rich and nobody raised their hands, but I want to tell you something, girls and boys, this morning. If you know the Lord Jesus, you are rich. You are rich beyond words. You're filled with riches. But we don't realize that sometimes. And the Lord wants us to be aware of that. We have so much. You know, I understand now that the richest man in the world is a man that lives in Mexico. I think he's from Mexico City. He's 70 years old. And according to the reports, he's worth about $53.5 billion. Now, I don't know. Maybe that doesn't mean anything to you. I don't really know what that means either. It's just a big, long number. But his name is Mr. Slim. Maybe you've heard about Mr. Slim. Kind of interesting. Slim. Let me ask you this. He's 70 years old, so he's getting up there in age. If we're left here 20 years, he'd be 90. Good chance he won't be here. He might. There's a few that make it to that age and beyond. But let me ask you this. How much money is Mr. Slim going to take with him when he leaves this world? How much of that $53.5 billion?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing? Wow, that's solemn, isn't it? He's not going to take anything with him. $53.5 billion and not taking any with him. Like that man that died that was wealthy and I don't know if he was a believer. He wanted two holes drilled in the side of his casket. And he said, I want you to stretch my hands out, my arms out, with my palms up, to show everyone that looks at me that I'm not taking anything with me. Well, I thought that was interesting that man would do that. Maybe he was a believer. Well, boys and girls, we have been given unfathomable riches. That means you can't plumb the depths of them. They're so deep. They're so many. So, tell me, what are some of these riches? We're going to just start filling these. What are some of the riches that we have in Christ if we know Him as our Savior? Help us out here. Can you help us? Just anything that comes to mind that you've heard from the Bible that we have as a treasure. Kind of hard to be put on the spot. Okay, help us out here.
Grace.
Grace, that's a wonderful riches, a richness, isn't it? What else?
To be saved.
To be saved, wonderful, isn't it? All these things. We have new life. We have, what else? We've been born again. We have the Spirit of God dwelling within us. All of these riches that God puts into these vessels. You know, like we said, men, they put them into safes and they put them into strongholds so that nobody can grab them and steal them from them. But what does God do? He takes the most precious things that He has and His riches, the unsearchable riches of Christ, and He puts them in vessels. We'll call these earthen vessels. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Why does He do that? Why wouldn't He entrust these things to His angels or those that would be more careful with them? Why does He put them in earthen vessels? Well, let's keep reading. That the excellency or the surpassingness of the power may be of God and not of us. You know, children, boys and girls, I believe that God puts these treasures in earthen vessels because He is so gracious, because of His love and graciousness towards us. He gives us the privilege of being the carriers of these treasures. Can you imagine? The God of the universe, the God of heaven and earth, the God of glory, He gives us all these treasures. He puts them in these poor vessels that are made out of clay, and He lets us carry them. He wants us to carry them, and He wants us to share them with this poor world. Do you ever think about that? That we're on this world, we're in this earth to carry these treasures for God and to share them with this world. Are we doing it? Are we sharing these treasures? What a wonderful privilege this is to be these vessels. Now these empty vessels that were once empty, look at that. They're filling up with these treasures. Now let me ask you this, boys and girls. As we begin to share these treasures that God has given to us with others, and for His own glory, you know, when we offer praise, we're going to have the privilege here in a little while of offering praise to the Lord Jesus. Think of what that means to God. Those treasures being offered up to Him. What a wonderful privilege that is. But how do you think He feels when we don't share these things? Maybe we're like some in this world that have riches. Maybe we say, no, you can't have any. I don't want to share them with you. We just keep them to ourselves. We hoard them. You know, there was a man in Colorado that lived up in the mountains, and I remember as a boy, and I don't remember all the details of the story, but you could see his place from the highway, and it was just a shack. And he was what we call a hermit or a miser. He just lived alone. You never saw him, but what you did see was there was a hill right outside of his little shack, and it was littered with cans because he apparently ate a lot out of cans. And as he finished up the can, he would just toss it onto the pile and it would slide down. Pretty soon they would rust. Some of them were newer. You could see the newer ones. The sun would glitter off of them. But here was this man. He had all these cans of food that he had eaten. And I understand, I haven't been able to verify this, but I understand that when he died, they found money hoarded up in his shack. He had lots of money that he could have lived on. But no, he just lived one can at a time. That's how he existed. Are we like that? We've been given all these precious things. Do we ever share something with our parents, with one another? God wants us to share these riches that He's given, these unsearchable riches. All the other riches of this world are going to pass away. There's so many verses we could turn to, but I don't think we better take the time to turn. I will just turn to maybe one passage here. We're told in 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul says to Timothy in verse 17, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." And there's so many other verses. This same man that was so rich in the Bible, King Solomon, he said, "Labor not to be rich." I'm going to read that because it's such a good verse. In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 4, "Labor not to be rich, or weary not thyself to become rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away." That's what Mr. Tabor found. His riches made themselves wings and they flew away. Kind of sounds funny to us, but pretty soon all his money was gone and he had nothing left. Well, boys and girls, I want to get to the other part of this. Back in our chapter in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you know, the Lord wants so bad for us to share these riches. And sometimes He has to, as it were, encourage us in that. And so He allows things to come into our lives, and He allows us to go through trials and difficulties so that these riches might be shared with others. Isn't He faithful? He's so loving. He does it in such a loving way. I'm going to illustrate that here. The Lord, in His grace and His mercy, He comes and He breaks this vessel. And what happens? The riches start flowing out. Isn't He gracious, boys and girls? And now you know what we would say? We would say, this vessel is ruined. No. No, it's not ruined at all. This vessel is very useful to God. It's even more useful to Him now because the riches can spill out and flow out to others. And so Paul talks all about that. We're not going to take the time to develop this, but if you were to read from verse 5 on down through here, Paul talks in 2 Corinthians 4, Paul talks about all these... I'm sorry, I was in the wrong chapter. If you start reading from verse 8 on down through the chapter, he says, "We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken." See, the Lord takes this vessel and He makes it more useful. He breaks it. He allows these trials in our lives to make us more... to increase the flow of these treasures coming out from us for His glory. Isn't that wonderful? Now, man would say, "This is worthless. This vessel is done for. I'm going to throw it away." But God, that's where God begins. He takes up with what man says is of no use, of no value. And God uses that vessel for His glory. And boys and girls, He wants to use you for Him. You know, He talks to Timothy about a great house and vessels of gold and silver and of wood and earth and some to honor and some to dishonor. And then he says, if a man, or it could be a boy or a girl, will therefore purge himself from these, he will be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Do you want to be a vessel for the Lord's honor? You want to be useful to Him? Well, you know, we get sick, don't we? And we could look at that in two ways. And I know you're young and these things are a little hard to understand, but I just want to leave this with you. That you can look at that sickness and say, well, it happens to everyone, so it just happens to me. And there is some truth in that too. But there's another way we can look at these trials, boys and girls. We can say, the Lord has allowed me to get sick because He wants me to be a brighter testimony for Him. And Paul mentions this here about the vessel being broken, going through these trials. It's like the breaking of the vessel. But it also reminds us of a very neat story in the Old Testament where this happened. A man named Gideon, he had 300 men. He started out with, I think, 32,000. And then he got reduced by to 10,000. And the Lord said, the Midianites and the Amalekites had come in around them, the children of Israel, and they were like grasshoppers in the valley. And the Lord says, no, that's still too many. I'm going to deliver my people with just 300 men. And so Gideon gave, he broke them into three companies of 100, and he gave them each a pitcher, like a vessel, and he put a light in it, and they had a trumpet to blow, and they were to blow with the trumpet, they were to break their vessels, and the light would shine out, and they did it at night, and the Amalekites and the Midianites, they saw this, and they heard the noise, and they were so scared, they fled, and they didn't even have to fight them, because they just turned and ran. Wonderful stories in the Old Testament. We don't have time to develop those. But God wants us to share what we have. And you know, boys and girls, you might say, well, I don't have a lot of knowledge about Bible things. That doesn't matter. That's not what God is requiring for us to be a vessel sanctified and meet for the Master's use. No. He wants us to just be obedient. We talked about obedience. He just wants us to obey. And He wants us to enjoy Himself. The Lord Jesus wants us to enjoy Himself. And as we enjoy Him, we're going to share with others. It's going to be natural. And you know, the more we give, the more of a giving spirit we are, the more we're going to have to give. Do you think this God ever runs out of riches? Does God's storehouse, does His bank ever run out of riches and treasures? No. No. The more we give out, the supply is exhaustless, so God just puts in more. We're never going to run out. Well, I hope you boys and girls will be encouraged in your lives to get started now. You don't have to wait to grow up and become, as we say, a laboring brother or a laboring sister. You can start right now. And I want to encourage you to start right now. So I thought I would try and help you in that. This is what we're going to do. I've got some little baggies here. And I'm going to have you come up as we're doing something else. I want you to take one of these. And let's see. There's not very many of you, so why don't you take, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I'll say 5. Why don't you take 5 of these treasures, put them in a baggie, and then sit back down and I'll tell you what I want you to do. And, you know, I've got a lot of them here, so while you're doing that, I want to share with the others, anyone else here. So I thought I would just try and find some excuse to give some of these treasures away. I just came up with a few questions here, and I'm going to ask the daddies and mommies and the uncles and aunts, I'm going to ask some questions while you kids are coming up and getting a baggie and taking 5 of these treasures, and then we'll see if we can give some more out, a few more out here. So, go ahead, let's see, let's start with you. Why don't you just kids line up and grab a baggie and take 5 of these coins and put them in there, and then I'll tell you what we're going to do here. For the rest of us, where would I find this statement here in the Word of God? We'll just stick with books. So if anyone would like to volunteer an answer, just do so. Just speak up so I can hear you. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, but let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. What book in the Bible would I find that?
Jeremiah.
Who said that?
Jeremiah.
Oh, okay. Thank you, John. See, Oh, you don't need a biggie, do you, John? No. What I say to them applies to... Well, he's already doing what I was going to ask. Okay. All right. Where would I find this? I rejoiced at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I thought that was an interesting verse. My son Andy brought this to our attention recently, and I honestly can have to say I can't remember that verse. I rejoiced at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Who said it? Tim? Okay. Yes. Which one? I won't hold you to that, but...
I was there when I heard Andy say that.
Oh, okay. it's the 119th Psalm, verse 162. And I know there's a young man here that's memorized that psalm. I won't point him out, but I thought he might jump up, but I understand why he didn't. Okay, this which of Paul's epistles uses the words riches and rich most often in the things of the Lord? It's interesting. This was interesting to me, and it's really a nice study. Which one of his epistles uses riches and rich, the words riches and rich the most in connection with the things of the Lord? Paul's epistles. Yes. Was that you, Robert? Okay. Good. We're getting some of this treasure dispersed. A couple more here, and then we're going to be out of time. Who was it that esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt? Okay. Did you say Moses? I'm sorry. I heard it in several places. Okay, point me out to where these go. I think I heard it over here too. And then, who tells us that God hath chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? This one's maybe a little harder. God hath chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him. A little more obscure, maybe. Good try. It's in James 2:5. Okay, just two more because I know our time's gone. But these are so nice. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. Yes. Now, don't eat any of these yet, boys and girls. One more. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Good. Was that you, Don? Or okay. I'll let you hand them down the aisle. Thank you. Now, we're going to pray, and then I'll tell you, boys and girls, what I'd like you to do. So let's just ask the Lord for his help, his blessing on our time. Okay, I told you, boys and girls, that I was going to ask you to do something. You've got five of those. And in the rest of the time here at the conference, I was wondering if you'd be willing to take two of those. You still have three. Take two of those and share them with someone else. All right? And you don't have to feel obligated to do this, but it would be nice if not only you just handed it to him, but just said, you know, I've been thinking about you, or I just wanted to share this with you and encourage you. Maybe you have a verse you want to share with them. I'll leave that up to you. But just take two of your coins and share them with others. Now, in our break time here, any of you children that would like to have been up here in the front, but maybe you were just a little bit afraid or whatever, feel free to come up and I'll give you some coins too, okay? I have some more coins and I have some more bags. So, all right, you're all excused.